Right now, though, here's a sound to get any rail enthusiast fired up on a Monday morning. It's the sound of steam. And for all you train spotters out there, the sound of a 62 class Garrett loco on the Canberra Parks run back in 1981, in case you didn't pick it. Former Deputy Prime Minister Tim Fischer, these days the Australian Ambassador to the Holy See, has spent 5 decades enthusing about trains. He could have picked that sound, I'll warrant. He's written a book about his exploration of all things rail called Trains Unlimited in the 21st Century, and he'll launch the book at Sydney's Central Railway this morning. Tim Fischer, good to see you in the breakfast studio.
Greetings, Fran. I doff my black Akubra to you.
Thank you very much. Tim Fischer, it seems a silly question, but I really wanted to ask you for a long time, why do you love trains so much?
For the practical reasons. In the 21st century, much more congestion, greenhouse gas emissions and the like. By far, the best way of moving people and freight, land transport, is by rail the road, rail the air. And Australia, you know, getting there, but this book spells out a lot more to be done.
Not many passions, though, are fuelled simply for practical reasons. Was there a boyhood moment, childhood moment, where young Tim fell in love with trains?
Down there at Borey Creek, near Maroondah, where Michelle Grattan's going to take a holiday, I think there's special moments when the rail motor used to come around the corner on a Monday night, and we'd go in to buy the Sunday morning papers 36 hours later. Today, if I can't download in Rome the ABC news page within 36 seconds, I get cranky. So this was another era. And yes, we'd buy those Sunday papers and be delighted to get them 36 hours later. And I began to follow rail. I was in the Army Transport Officer, 1st Battalion, Royal Australian Regiment. And it just built on that. Although I never took the portfolio, trade, commerce, occasionally John Howard would mutter about transport, but it just didn't work out that way. Perhaps it's one little regret.
Talking about another era, for many, I think rail, the idea of travelling by train, is an idea of from another era.
It is no longer. Europe is swinging back to high-speed rail with a vengeance. 2 hours, 15 minutes, Paris-London. 1 hour, 41 minutes, Brussels-London. Shinkansen is now old technology. It commenced in 1964, those bullet trains. Zero fatalities
in Japan. That's the Japanese bullet train.
Zero fatalities in Japan despite all those earthquakes. And what we could have here in Australia by 2024, the timetable's in page 186 of the book, Trains Unlimited, by 2024 we could be having Sydney-Melbourne trains 2 hours 45 minutes without breaking any great speed records, even running slower than the TGV, but on a route which would be Sydney-Canberra, shortcut Tumut, Albury-Melbourne, 822 kilometres, average speed only 282 kilometres an hour.
Even more compelling, according to the timetable on page 186, 187, 1 hour, 5 minutes, Sydney-Canberra. You'd think there'd be a great demand for that, certainly in sitting weeks. Why haven't we done it, though? Surely it's simply because the numbers don't stack up.
The money equation is about to be addressed by a report. This month of August is going to see, firstly, my book this day. Thanks, Mark Scott, launching it at Sydney Central in an hour's time. But secondly, a report from Minister Anthony Albanese, now finishing on phase one of a high-speed rail project, supported by all sides of politics. That report is on the cusp of being released, as I understand it. And then on the 10th of August, the Australasian Railway Association is bringing out a report on the true value of rail. Now we have the chance. We're at the crossroads.
Why? What's different now than, say, 10 years ago when it wasn't seen as economically viable?
Because we now have 12 million people on the corridor Brisbane-Sydney-Melbourne because the opportunity there at Canberra has opened up for the ultimate hub station location. The book has been cleared by manuscript by DFAT and by ASIO because it would be just to the west of the ASIO new headquarters in their secret big basement, a matter of public record, I'm now allowed to say, that you would place the hub station of the high-speed rail in Canberra, and away you go. Why is there a difference? Because I think people are suddenly realising a second Sydney airport may not be the best solution immediately, and this would obviate the need for the great cost and the hard political decisions of a second Sydney airport.
You say in the book that it fits into the notion of a carbon-constrained world. Why is train travel, though, any more carbon-friendly than other forms of transport?
Well, is it layman's answer is a steel wheel on a steel rail has 1/7 of the friction of a rubber-tired wheel on a bitumen surface. So you use a lot less fuel, shifting 100 tonnes of freight, 1,000 people to the Sydney Olympics stadium. If you do it by train, you just use that much less fuel. It's about greenhouse emissions, about 1/75th with a like-to-like comparison, according to authorities in the USA. So it makes sense on greenhouse. It makes sense on congestion. And by the way, we have surplus capacity at the big old stations like Sydney Central, where it could become a national hub. So I am on leave from DFAT for this week to launch this book, Some Proceeds to Charity, because I think now it's now or never. If we walk away from this decision this time, if we have sabotaged by greatly inflated cost estimates, you know, the old Maxi Axe, my good friend Max Moore Wilton, very capable public servant, Max 101, just inflate the cost estimates and
why would he do that?
He's out of it. He won't. But it's a phenomenon.
But why would people do that?
There are elements in Canberra that will do that. The road lobby of its worst kind, it's maturing in this country. It's realising, Wendy Mation in RMA realises there's got to be a rail and road equation. But there's still elements that will sabotage big rail projects. We were touch and go to get the Adelaide-Darwin Transcontinental done when John Howard was Prime Minister. Touch and go. It's had a fivefold increase in freight since it commenced.
Has there been a change of heart in terms of rail sort of globally? I noticed just when I lived in London, the thought of travelling by train in the Channel to Paris was, you know, enthralling, really, so much more attractive than tromping out to airports. And that time that train travel trip has only got shorter. So more and more people doing that. In China, high-speed rail really come along. Do the economics stack up better because of the Chinese research and models of high-speed train? Is that likely to make it easier and more likely here, do you think?
To be fair, it's the German Siemens, which has distributed power on every axle, which is really putting in some performance. Italy as well, Red Arrows, Ansaldo, doing a fantastic job. At the moment, 1 hour, 25 minutes, Rome-Florence. 2 hours, 59 minutes, Rome-Milan. I first did that trip in the 1970s. It was 7.5 hours. But it's freight for Australia. The really big winners in many ways are freight. And Parkes to Perth now, 90% of freight to and from Perth is going by double-stacked container trains, whipping across the Nullarbor. That's the sort of efficiency we have to drive Brisbane direct Melbourne and ease the burden on the Pacific Highway. I put a reverse question to you, Fran. Are you in favour of building a 10-lane Hume Highway, as we will need if we don't do high-speed rail and proper freight rail? Are you in favour of building a 12-lane one from Sydney to Newcastle? Jams up every Friday now with 6 lanes.
And I've been on that bullet train. Bring on the bullet train. Just to switch track for a moment, you talk about, you know, rail being the transport in a carbon-constrained world. From your time in Europe, coming back here, what's your perspective on a carbon tax?
Zero comment, because I am still an ambassador. The Secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade has given me leave, but that still is a constraint until the 31st of January. But I have written a green paper on how to reform Question Time. I'll release that after the 31st of January. I mean, the beauty of that Westminster burst last week with Cameron and Miliband, it was powerful parliamentary politics on. All I would say is bring the focus back to the Parliament on all these difficult issues. It will do no harm.
Tim Fisher, thanks very much for joining us. Tim Fisher, focusing on trains still for his whole life, and the book Trains Unlimited in the 21st Century spells out the reason why. Also lists his 12 favourite top train trips in the world and the 12 top railway stations in the world. And guess what? Sydney Central is amongst them, and that's where Tim will be launching his book, Trains Unlimited, published by ABC Books, launched by ABC Managing Director Mark Scott this morning. It's 8:15 on Breakfast.